Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Lord, what great section next? So Tamale's missed by Wilbur on the board. SP futures up 1975. SP futures up 48. I say that with bizarre kind of inflection because last night they were down 7 or 8. So we've had a big swing from the opening last night as everybody's, you know, kind of giddy about what's going on. Do we have Brendan? We do.
I am. I'm here, Chief. How are you this morning?
Doing all right. What's going on, bud?
Oh, just relaxing over in Michigan right now. It's been a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Hope everything went well with you in the city.
Well, sort of. You know, the why did the Ogden Dunes cancel a Memorial Day parade in Memorial yesterday that I go pretty much every year when every place else is wide open and Aki games at Boston are full and no mask anywhere? And is this uneven or what?
Yeah, it sounds like it's uneven. I didn't hear the story about the cancellation of the parade and the festivities, but it does seem like most places are opening up, so I can't explain why that was, especially the Ogden Dunes. Those are in Indiana, so I'm surprised that that Indiana has any restrictions.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, but I always get the, for whatever reason, Brendan, I don't know why this is, but it seems like in the last, we haven't had a declared war for a bazillion years, but in the last real wars, the last, whatever they were, police actions or something where people died, it seems like a higher percentage of people came from the small towns than from the big cities. Now, I don't know how the hell that, I don't know the workings of how that all happened, but at one point I read in Afghanistan that only 11% of the people over there were from big cities.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that when the draft was disbanded back, when was that, 1975 or so, 72, 75, that the shift to an all-volunteer army meant that different types of groups were more likely to volunteer for the service, and they are mostly small towns, mostly big cities, who go into the service because of being drafted, no longer felt compelled or had the same familiar background to go into service.
Well, I think in some of the volunteer cases in the cities, you still have some of the minorities, a lot being Hispanic, sign up, but the last few wars, it seems like a lot of the National Guard units and people like that, I remember when I went down to Columbus more often, of course you haven't done anything in a year and a half, so it feels like everything's distant history, but my Italian relatives are down there, and I'd go down and, of course, be the first person up on Sunday morning and reading the Columbus paper. There was always a unit from somewhere, either going for, you know, they were Jeep mechanics, Jeep, Humvee or whatever mechanics, or or something. All those kinds of units were going back and forth, even though they might have been National Guard units, or they might have been reserve units, or something like that. So they were being shipped back and forth. But anyway, it just seems that you're going to get people at these little town celebrations, memorials, where a lot of them have a family member that has died in a war, and
yes,
and it's you know, it's sobering. I mean, it really is. I go because I went a couple times, and I'm like, you know, this is something. They bring out somebody who was, you know, if they can find somebody from the World War II, but they'll have somebody from the Korean War, or they'll have somebody from a recent war or something like that, and people, maybe some of their family members didn't make it or whatever. In some of these small towns, where like a bomb went off or a landmine, maybe a significant group of people from one town are dead, which which really is not, it's even worse. I mean, it's not like anybody, one person dying versus another is different, but you really don't need a town of 3,000 people losing 20 people, you know, type of thing. But
that's happened forever. It may seem more noticeable, in recent years because there are fewer people from large metropolitan areas, relatively speaking. There are fewer people going into the service from Chicago or New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco or Houston or places like that compared to being out in smaller towns in the countryside. I think there's a different mentality in smaller rural America, which is more pro-military than it is in the city. And I think that, there's always been a disparity. You can go back to the Civil War, at least to the Civil War, when people of higher social economic classes would pay for people to take their place in military service. So I think that there's a large disparity. I mean, you can go back even in our generation, Chief, to Vietnam. And a disparity of, and there was a lot of draftees who were serving in Vietnam, and a lot of them came from primarily rural and poor parts of the country, even during the draft, because they weren't, they didn't have as easily access, such an easy access to things like college deferments.
What was the Civil War? It was $100 and you were out, right?
I don't remember what the cost was, but there was a cost where a lot of folks could pay for somebody, and pretty typically they were either, for the Northern Army, they were either slaves who had escaped, or they were immigrants. There was a huge population, well actually in the Civil War, there was a huge population of immigrants, Irish immigrants, it was one main cause, who fought on both sides, on the North and the South, who were paid mercenaries to take the stead of somebody who was a gentleman farmer here, or somebody in his family, during the Civil War.
It was pretty, history's pretty sweet, isn't it?
It is.
I was reading the Freedom from Fear by William Kennedy when Audrey's dad was still alive, and he was very coherent, and he was, you know, in his mid-90s. He's been dead like 3-4 years. He made it to 98 or 9, something like that. But I was able to run this stuff by him. And then, you know, the whole routine about, you know, the history doesn't, a lot of times, what is it, when the fact conflicts with the legend, print the legend?
Yep, Liberty Valance.
Yeah, Liberty Valance. Well, the idea that everybody dashed and signed up didn't exactly happen. I mean, there was a draft, and there was a big fight between the people who were, it was conflict between the people who wanted people to stay here and produce the tanks, and people in the Army, you wanted people to ride around in the tanks. Well, you couldn't ride around in them if you didn't have a tank, right? So there were people on the South Side, well, everywhere, that were, they actually were, didn't want people to just show up en masse and sign up. They'd rather draft and get, you know, now we know we're doing 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, that kind of thing. And somebody, I asked him, his name was Elmer, I said, Elmer, what was it like with the draft thing? And he goes, the draft guy on the South Side was the biggest crook in town. You could pay him off and get out. I mean, nothing changes, right? Because, yeah, he was known as the biggest. But I think one thing that did change, Brennan, is the casualties in, like, your, what do you want to call it? What do they call it? They're not the mechanics, but the guys who, the sort of the support units. The casualties in some of these wars are just as much behind the line as in front. Where that really wasn't the same, I don't think, in Korea or World War II. But if you weren't a soldier, pretty much you were safe, pretty much, unless you got, you were your side that was losing and getting run over the top. But, you know what I'm saying? So the, I mean, I don't think the people in, who were in the aircraft, maintenance units in Britain lost anywhere near as many people as the pilots.
That's true.
Where in some of these wars, you know, some of these bombings, they happened behind the lines, and all the people who died were like National Guardsmen that theoretically aren't supposed to be the people dying, if anybody is.
You're right, and I think that also goes to different tactics that have been employed in recent wars. If you look, for example, at the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East, there is more of a call-up of National Guard troops instead of full-time military. And you know, there's a difference between the full-time service of the Marines and the Army compared to the National Guard. They're trained differently. The military, Army, and Marines, for example, are trained to do battle. The National Guards are more peacekeeping forces for service in country and in the United States in different situations. So they're trained differently. But what happened a lot in the Middle East wars in the 21st century is that they rotate in much the same way that former military frontline units had been. And everybody seems to be rotated out after 6 months or a year, which was not the case in times like Vietnam, or I'm sorry, it wasn't Vietnam, but not in Korea or World War II, when the phrase was, we're here for the duration. If you signed up for the Army of the Marines in early 1942, or shortly after Pearl Harbor, you didn't know how long you were going to be in service, whether it was going to be until you were wounded and shipped home or 10 years, 20 years, because you didn't know how long the war was going to last. And they were there for the duration.
Brendan, the people who flew enough missions, of course, I kept raising the amount of missions, right? But if you ever did make it to the end of the missions, say you did 40 or 45 or whatever, did you get out, or did you just get a job scheduling the missions?
My recollection is that for those who were in combat positions, like the bombers, the B-17 bombers, if they completed 25 flights, they were shipped home and were not called for further duty. So 25 flights and you were able to get home. I don't know if that was true for fighter pilots or other people in the Air Force, but I do remember that the bombing crews were limited to 25 missions. Not only because of how dangerous it was, but from a mental health standpoint, a lot of them were just very stressed out by flying. Even people like the tail gunners or the bombardiers and navigators.
Well, I mean, I imagine it would do that to you. Hey, I saw a serious picture of your state at work on Saturday.
My state of work?
Illinois, you're always defending them.
Does he still claim Illinois, or is he fully Michigan now?
No, he's not fully Michigan. I guarantee you, the state of Illinois is chasing
him. Touché, Manny, touché.
With his wealth, they're not letting him leave. Just saying. I'm sure that he's...
I'm probably there right ahead of you and Manny, so...
Pritzker would call him personally and say that if you leave, our tax returns drop. Just saying. So get a load of this. It's unfortunate because, part of it is hilarious, but part of it isn't, because a couple of people died. Somebody somewhere decided to drive the wrong way, and then ran, if you heard about this, on Saturday, like 11, I think around 11 o'clock. I'm not positive. I heard the 11 o'clock being bandied about around 63rd Street and slammed into a few people. And at the time, there was a couple of people, and this is late Saturday afternoon, so I leave early because I'm going to go to one of the stores on the south side and buy stuff to cook out on. So I get to near Sox Park, and the thing has just stopped. So I'm listening to the Sox. Cubs are already finished. And I go, I better find out what the hell's going on. So I turn on News Radio 78, which normally does a pretty good job. But Saturday afternoon, they were absolute morons. They kept saying, I stay in the express lanes. Everything's fine. Of course, I'm in the local. The express aren't moving anymore in the local. So it takes me like a half hour to go a mile. It turns out they totally closed the local lanes, and everybody's forced in the express at 47th Street. All right, fine. Well, it takes a long time to go from... Actually, the ramp starts at 47, but you really don't even get into the express till like 59th or something. So it takes forever to get there. And then it's still limping along. So we come to the accident scene. Now, this is 6 hours after the accident, right? And I see some huge wrecker with one of the 18-wheelers that was involved in the front of the thing's all bashed up. There's two cops. Now, mind you, Brendan, there's not one policeman seen the entire time, because all these morons are flying down the shoulder at like 80 miles an hour and everybody else has stopped, right? Now, how many cameras do we have and everything else? And we can't see that this is happening and like issue tickets. And not that I'm for camera tickets, but, it's pretty dangerous. And So idiots are flying by. There isn't a cop anywhere, right? So they see the wrecker, the 18-wheeler. There's two state policemen, they're backed ass to ass, right, so they can talk out the window to each other. So they're sitting there BSing, and get a load of this. There's a dumpster like the size you would have behind a restaurant place, sitting in the middle of the road with not any truck that looks like you're going to take it anywhere. And two guys, count them two, one guy with a broom, the other guy with a shovel, and the guy's sweeping the expressway. One guy. I never saw, I mean, I don't know what I expected to see, but two people, one hold, it looked like they were the WPA, for God's sake. And the guy's, you know, sweeping along, not fast. Where did they find those two guys? And where did they find this dump? I would expect it like a garbage truck or something. You could fill up and the thing would just take off. I don't know what I expected. This was not it.
Definitely the low man on the seniority list at the union.
I mean, but can you imagine it? Here's your broom. Go sweep the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
Do what? What about him? Well, he's got the shovel. Okay, I'm the only guy sweeping. I mean, when we used to go police the parking lot, with the schools, at least there'd be five or six of us.
You'd expect to get some of the street sweepers out that they use to clean alongside the curbs in the city.
Well, the only thing I was thinking, Brennan, is you might have to save some of that stuff because the two people ended up dying. I wonder if maybe you save that dumpster just in case. But even so, do you think? When we're talking about now, we're backed up to downtown. And it was showing no signs of opening, and now it's 6 o'clock. I started my trip at 4:30. And I'm like, are they still there? I mean, how long is it? We're talking about, you know, burning out pieces of cars and everything, and the guy's got a broom.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, you are right, because they may need to preserve the evidence, because, you know, what the other thing that's been happening in the last several months, years or so, are all the shootings on the expressway, where they close down the expressway completely and have a line of cops or investigators walking the lanes looking for cases.
Yeah, looking for the...
You've seen that, haven't you?
Yeah, looking for the brass.
Yeah.
Got to use the right terms now that we're all going, we're all getting like either our concealed carry or something. Boy, if we only had a bullet factory, how much money would we be making now? You can't buy a bullet. I don't know if you know that or not, but you can't buy ammunition.
I've heard some people talking even about the new Bitcoin is going to be the ammo that they store.
Oh, yeah.
Start exchanging the stored ammunition that they've got in their house for consumer goods.
See, now, something like that would make sense, because it at least has a value. I mean, other than nothing, the Bitcoin. So I have a question for you.
We have a disagreement there about the value, because I really don't see the value in bullets for society's benefit. But that's a whole other discussion.
Well, see, it doesn't really matter... what you and I think, and I've never smoked a cigarette yet, I'm very aware that in concentration camps, cigarettes are the medium of exchange.
That was currency.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Because to somebody it has value. Doesn't matter whether I want to shoot the bullet. If somebody thinks it has value and I can sell it to them, that's all that matters.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not whether you and I think we should hurl one at somebody, which I don't think we should. Speaking of which, you see the guy who hurled the plastic bottle at the guy at the Boston game?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, did they give you, not that anybody should ever do, of course, these guys womp up on the Celtics. Is there anything, Maddie's a sports guy, is there anything more useless than the first round of the basketball tournament, the basketball playoffs?
Useless, how so?
Well, half of them, there's no chance at all the other guys winning. It's not, in hockey, at least you got a fighting chance. Baseball,
there's no doubt. It's very rare. I think it's only happened maybe twice in the NBA where the 8 seed has beat the 1.
Well, the good, all the good, there's a few good series going on. Are they all 4-5?
Are they all 4-5? What
does that mean? Fourth and fifth seeds?
No, there's Suns Lakers 2-7 is tied at 2-2. I know that one for sure. I know Denver and Portland are 2-2. That's probably a 4-5. Yeah, there's a few good series. I think there's only been one sweep so far. That was Milwaukee.
Well, the couple that I watched were 1-8s, and it was like 40-point games. The 76ers are just destroying the Wizards.
Well, they lost last night, so the
really?
Sixers are up 3-1 now. They're still going to win that series, but they Washington avoided the sweep last night.
Really? How the hell did they do that? The other guy's already drinking the champagne at halftime or what?
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of the NBA playoffs because, first round, first of all, I've been watching. You only have so much bandwidth,
and
with the Cubs and Sox playing so well, that has drawn my interest a
lot
more.
Me too.
So I've been watching a lot of that. But if they're not playing, I have watched a little bit of basketball because I love basketball. But so I haven't been able to watch the series closely. But I know the Phoenix Los Angeles series, which obviously a lot of our listeners are interested in that, being down in Phoenix, is 2-2, and Game 5's tonight, and that's been a really good one.
What I was going to watch the Montreal Toronto seventh game, but I didn't. Who ended up winning that? Montreal, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I've been watching these teams all year.
I don't watch hockey unless the Blackhawks are in the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
so
I
can't really comment on it. Yeah, Montreal won 3-1, so they took that series 4-3, and then the Islanders won 4-3 over the Bruins in overtime last night. So that game that's a second round series. So that's now tied 1-1.
That's a lot of whenever the Bruins are involved. There's all. I mean, you don't see Eastern games. You see all the fights and the shoving. You don't see when the Hawks play.
I mean, yeah, that's
like 70s hockey.
It's kind of like it's kind of like NBA in the 90s too, in the 80s, where the Eastern Conference with the Pistons and Knicks and Bulls and Celtics, it was really physical and aggressive. And the Western Conference with the Lakers and stuff seemed a lot more free flowing. Hockey kind of the same way.
Yeah. No finesse.
Yeah, no finesse. Right. So anyway, the one of the guys on the who's Boston playing?
The Islanders.
No, basketball.
Oh, basketball. The Brooklyn Nets.
They're playing it. So one of the guys in the Nets, they win, right? Instead of just leaving like any normal person, he has to run out to midcourt and like rub his feet into the ground of the leprechaun or whoever the hell's in whatever their thing is in the middle of the. So of course, when he was wandering in the locker room, somebody wings a plastic bottle at him. Now, I don't think anybody should do that, but they arrest the guy, you know, for winging the bottle. Why doesn't the NBA suspend the guy for rubbing the thing into it? We don't need to do that either.
He might get fined for that. I don't know. I doubt he would get suspended for that.
But. I doubt he'd get suspended, but he probably will get a fine for that. Well, you know, that's the same argument too for taunting. What do you think about taunting in football or other sports? Should that be a disqualification or a fine?
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I don't. I mean, I never played that way. I don't. What is the point?
What you just said about the guy rubbing his feet on the leprechaun in the middle of the.
No, I'm saying I don't think that's right. I don't think it's professional. I mean, I don't think.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think your mother would let you do it, let alone a professional athlete. Right?
No, but you're sounding like Tony La Russa right now with the unwritten rules.
I think you're supposed to act like a gentleman.
Even I agree. Was it Tom Landry who always said, you know, prepare like you've been there before, don't act like an idiot if you score a touchdown?
Yeah. I mean, plus, to a certain extent, people are listening and watching, and people are...
I agree with you completely, and I subscribe to that theory, that that kind of behavior by professional athletes or collegiate athletes or even little leaguers should not be tolerated.
And we have to be real careful, and I know I'm walking down a plank on this one. We have to be real careful when we decide what's right for one person is not right for another. I mean, LeBron's tweet about, I happen to really like LeBron. I think he's made something out of himself other than basketball. I thought he was going to be another Magic Johnson in the sense that really showed people the way, both white and black. And all of a sudden he does that thing with the policeman. But yet, that's okay because it's LeBron. And yet, if a white person did that, there is no chance on hell the guy would be. What would we do? We'd ship him back to England, or what would we do? I mean, he would be banned from the league. I mean, there's no question that would happen. I mean, it's insane. One of my listeners wrote in, and I think it's a joke. He goes, "So okay, if we get a Republican president, are we going to rename DuSable Drive Trump Drive?" I mean, this is the game we're playing now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, we can't be going down that road. That I don't think. I mean, I don't. I mean. The fact that nobody in Chicago even knows who DuSable was, I think is kind of bizarre. So it really wouldn't bother me if they named a serious street after him. But the idea that as soon as you get in, you have to do everything on earth to rub it in the nose of whatever. Would that be somebody want to do that? Name it Trump Drive? I mean, there's only so far you can get with this. And I'm so kind of teed off at our... I went to one of the places I've been talking about... The only people that aren't having inflation lately are maybe some restaurants that are gleefully maybe own their place. And we've got, quote, the chicken shortage. Every time I go into a place, there's chicken on sale. So I don't know where the hell they're getting this chicken shortage thing. But I was hearing some long story yesterday about since Burger King has decided to have a chicken sandwich now, it's added to the chicken shortage. Well, it means if I had chicken at lunch at Burger King, I'm probably not going to buy it at home for dinner that night. I mean, I don't get how that works. But anyway, I guess I'm not supposed to. I'm just supposed to listen to the stories. So we went to one of our favorite places on the south side. It's a little bar out in the middle of nowhere. And I see everything written in on the menu, right, which is of course, the hint that it's all been raised. One of the pork chop dinners went from $14.75 to $19.75.
Wow, that's a big increase.
Well, and it's anywhere else in the city, you're not getting two pork chops for less than $20. So it's still, mm-hmm. quote, a deal. But I also know that you can buy the best, if you know where the hell it go, there's no way on earth you're paying $3 a pound or much more than $3 a pound for pork. So even if you mm-hmm. if you give somebody 2 half-a-pound pork chops, which most people don't, it's $3. You know, so what are you talking? Six and a half to one? Where is this going to end, Brent? And yet we'll have today we're going to have one, two, or three buffoons from the Fed telling there isn't any inflation, and yet the market can't wait to go up every day because we're pouring money into the system. When and how bad is this going to collide?
Well, it's definitely an incongruity when you're looking at real life situations and what we're being told about inflation, that it's both temporary and low.
And I'm gonna say, Brandon, something from the 70s that I remember, and something from my economics classes. When you come right down to it, for most of your population, inflation is the cruelest tax there is.
Mm-hmm.
And these people,
I agree with that.
And these people don't even care because it's not them. Their salary is going to keep moving on up. And
mm-hmm.
they're going to be fine with it. But, I mean, I tell you, you look at these numbers where somebody was making the median income was, 31,000 20 years ago, and now it's 37 or 38. You start dropping a 10 or 12% inflation. I think the inflation this year is north of 10%, easy. Easy north of 10%. Now, you think the median salary is going to be up? Now, you're going to say, okay, the $10 an hour guy is going to be making 11 or 12, right? But the $10 an hour guy was so far buried before. But I don't think the $20 an hour guy is going to be making 24, do you?
Nope.
No. This is...
And that's the problem, that wages are not... Yeah, there's a huge income disparity, and that's, we've talked about that on the show before. The income disparity is one of the biggest problems that we're facing as a country right now. And, it happened recently when you see the very rich continue to get richer and richer, and there is no middle class anymore. And the lower economic classes are just getting buried because their wages aren't going up very much.
Well, if you ever really want to take the income disparity and make it, exponentially worse, throw a general inflation on the population. And you can tell how, mm-hmm. you can tell how misinformed these people are. I got to believe if your people in the Senate were still making, $60,000 a year like they used to make without getting paid off by everybody, they would care. They don't care. We have a group of people that run the country that don't even care. And the rest of the people, for whatever reason, are too dumb to throw them all out and put somebody else. Maybe I don't think you have the opportunity to throw them all out because you don't get the vote.
Well, that is a problem. When you look at something like, for example, in Illinois, how many in the last election for the state house and the state senate, how many of those elections were unopposed?
Oh, most of them. We got to dash. We'll talk about this next week. We want Memorial Day to talk about. We'll talk about the elections in the state and what's going on a little bit. We're going to take care of yourself. Enjoy yourself up there. SP Futures now up 22. NASDAQ Futures up 56. We're back, Mr. Joel O'Connor.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Carson Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Tyson Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. And a very sad Mr. Matt Weber this morning because he just read that his favorite Southwest Air is not letting people buy booze on the plane for a while.
Yeah, so I flew them over the weekend, and it was Denver to Chicago round trip Friday, and then came back yesterday afternoon. And now that I think about it, you're right, they weren't serving booze. But you could, they'd bring you out water or coffee or a can of Coke.
It's not the same.
So I don't know what the difference is, but or why they're not doing booze. But
there's disruptions on the plane, people getting rowdy.
Yeah, could be.
Now, did you bring your own?
I did not. We drank enough in Denver to last many weekends, so no. The plane was used not for drinking.
You didn't need to put the capper on it, eh?
No.
The S&P futures now up 25, well, actually 22. NASDAQ futures up 51. Dow futures up 249, so we're, you know, rollicking start to the morning after being down last night. So, yeah, you could be up 28 points in the futures since last night. That's a real number. We're in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 45.2%, Shanghai up 9.2%, Hang Seng up 3.16%, that's a full 1%. The U.S. on Friday, just a way of review, Dow was up 64, S&P up 3, NASDAQ up 12, so it was a quiet day on Friday. Every day last week looked like it was going to be up pretty high and then sold off into the close, like every day. We'll see if that happens this week or we stay up here. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 242. That's 1.5%. Is the now they're going to have they're going to put a lot more money in the system over in Europe. Imagine that. It's working here, right? Might as well work there. FTSE up 1.1%. CAC round up 63. That's just a flat 1%. Bonds up 2 basis points at 161. One of these days, these things are going to come flying the other way, but we'll see when that happens. Bund minus 18.18. Japan positive 0.07. UK positive 0.80. Oil up 180 to 68.12 as your gas prices continue to go up. 321, I think I paid this weekend. So, Manny, what was it? It was like 220, 8 weeks ago or something? You know, it's only up 50%. Brent up 146, 70.78. Up over that 70 number we were talking about last week. Natural gas up 8 cents, 306. Just sort of odd for June 1st. RBOB up 4 cents, 218. Gold up 470 to 1910. Silver up 37 cents to 2838. Copper down 2.6 to 465. For those that trade that, pretty dramatic. Well, I trade a lot of it for my clients. It's pretty interesting that the GDX and the GLD now have this big gap. And I don't know why the gap between the alleged ETF and the physical is growing, but it is. I also I've heard anecdotal evidence from clients that the gap between the spot silver and the spot gold and what you can actually get for it is growing as well. So, as usual, stuff doesn't sound right. But anyway, crypto down $24. When I say crypto, Bitcoin, 36,690. Anyway, we got Force Traffic, Weather, Sports.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. We had an earlier crash on the outbound Stevenson at Weber Road, but that's been cleared. And there's no issues out there near Bolingbrook where that crash took place. On the inbound Stevenson, you'll see some traffic lights right near Cicero, but that's about it. That's our slowest moving expressway right now is inbound I-55 near the Midway Airport. Everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, a beautiful early June day. In fact, it's June 1st today, if you didn't realize that. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 72. Right now it's crystal clear and 54 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a hot one today. Sunshine with a high of 104. Right now it's clear and 80. In sports, don't look now, Chief, but the Cubs and Sox are both in first place on June 1st, 2 months into the season. Cubs blew out the Padres at home behind 5 home runs, winning 7-2 yesterday at Wrigley. White Sox split a doubleheader with second-place Cleveland, winning Game 1 8-6 in extra innings before losing the nightcap 3-1. Diamondbacks lost to the Mets 6-2. So as we take our usual Monday morning look at the MLB standings, of course it's on a Tuesday this week because of being off yesterday. White Sox are 33-21, first place in the AL Central, 3.5 up on second-place Cleveland. Cubs are in first place in the NL Central at 30-23, a half game up on second place St. Louis. And Diamondbacks are not good. They are 1-9 in their last 10, and they're in dead last in the mighty NL West. They're 19-36, and they're already 15.5 games out behind first place San Francisco.
Put a fork in them.
Lastly, NBA playoffs tonight. The Suns are back in action in a pivotal Game 5. They're tied 2 games apiece with the Lakers. That's a 7 p.m. Phoenix time tip-off. Chief.
With the Joel, how are you?
Doing well. What do you call a series between the White Sox and the Cubs? I mean, it's not a sub. You call it an L series, or would you call that?
They've been calling it the Crosstown Classic for the regular season. But if it was a World Series, yeah, I don't know what they would call it—the Red Line Series.
Well, it was used to be called a Subway Series, but
The New York reserved the Subway Series, so I think they would call it like a Red Line Series. Plus, it's not Subway the whole way between Sox and Cubs Park.
So is there's Yankees.
Well, it's Subway the whole way between.
Well, there's a Subway line and an elevated line there, so you are correct.
Yeah, I think, but that's what they called it in 2000 when they played each other, the Mets and the Yankees. Cubs and White Sox obviously have never played each other in the World Series. That would be interesting.
Well, for years and years, when I was younger, they would say that. They always refer to it would be a Subway Series, so I guess they didn't register it quick enough. So, Joel, what did you, is there somewhere buried on the dark net that Joel was buying that sent the market from down last night to flying up this morning?
Well, buy the dip, right, Chief? That continually worked. I mean, really, there's no reason. We were down Sunday night and Monday. I mean, reopening trade, Chief, people are enthusiastic. We've had a good earnings season, beat estimates and a lot of different companies, 135,000 people at the Indy 500. And I just want to give a shout out to the old people out there, like me and you, Chief. You got Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl. You get Lefty winning the PGA, and then Helio Castroneves wins the Indy 500 at 46. So can't really call those guys baby boomers because they're kind of like the baby bust, like me.
Yep.
But just unbridled optimism about everything, Chief.
I'm going to say that I've never seen, Joel, a difference in opinion of the way the world is going between normal people and the crap you're getting on TV and radio. I mean, this whole idea of this massive optimism. First of all, if the market had taken some massive dump and we were down 25%, then yes, the reopening as it's happening would lead you to a rally. But we're not even down. But does anybody think that the world is better than it was 14 months ago?
Chief, you always come up with the tough questions, and, no. But, yes. And you can't argue with Price. I mean, Price don't lie, Chief.
Well, I would agree with you.
What reasons we got here, we don't know, but can't fight the tape. The tape says higher, higher, and higher.
Well, when do you think people are going to get the idea that it has nothing to do with pork, chicken, or Amazon stock? It has to do with the Fed. They were driving one down so the others look good. Just saying.
When they take rates up.
Well, I mean,
I guess.
I mean, it's right now. I mean, whatever. I mean, I talk about it all the time, and nobody wants to hear about it. But it is right there in front of everybody's face, and I just. I don't. If it's so good, why today do these guys have to pour $8 billion into the system?
Or if things are so good, why do we need another $6 trillion in our stimulus?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? What do we need that for? I mean, it's just I'm getting the feeling that all decency, our morality when it comes to spending is down, because it used to be that if I spend something. I mean, the middle class. If I go out and if I add this to the car I'm going to buy, it means I got to work overtime on a Saturday. Is it worth it? All right. And even your legislators, I think, had some semblance of discipline. Where if I'm going to spend this, I either got to A, tax it, which is a problem, or B, borrow it, which I don't necessarily want to do. But now they don't care. They're just going to print it. This is all made up money. It is so easy for these guys to spend because any of the bad stuff they have to do to spend, being borrow or tax, they don't have to do anymore. They just print it. I think it's a whole new world. It's worse than the 70s ever were, in one man's opinion. But do you agree or not? We don't have much time. But
I mean, Chief, it's hard to argue with you on these things. You just have to. I don't even know what to say, Chief. You left me speechless. You have to. If there's inflation, there are all these things going on. People just have to remember there's inflation and stock prices too, and that's what you see.
Well, is Michigan involved in the baseball tournament? And the Irish have turned into a baseball school. They're not basketball.
The softball team got knocked out. I haven't checked up on the baseball team, but we're definitely more baseball basketball team than we are football.
You like watching the softball because...
And we did win the gymnastics championship.
Did you? Really? Wow.
Changing of the guard.
Well, talk at you next week, buddy. Take care of yourself. Have a good week.
All right, go Blue.
SPV is up 22. Nancy, if you're up 52, be right back. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Right now. Lower North Bank Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, just my woman on the board. S&P Futures up 21, Nasdaq Futures up 51. This is after being down for a bit last night. Then the word went out, Paul Carey's buying. And all of a sudden, everybody turned around, market spun around. Now everybody's buying. But he got it on. He's up. He's cackling over there because he's up 28 points on his SPU in 12 hours.
Was that? We didn't see that. The Journal of the Barons, just so I know.
It was Barons. They're quick. They're quick. London Times too. London's ahead of this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Financial Times. I'm going global. That's right.
They've got their Polcari watch going on over there in London. They're no dummies. How are you?
How was your weekend? Happy Memorial Day.
So it was all right, except I was bummed they canceled the Ogden Dunes little parade. I didn't get to see my Model A's and whatever cars that they drive around in the fire truck, and then they do the Memorial Day thing. And it's a pretty somber one because they actually have people up there with family members that died and so forth. So it's a remembrance, which I think it's not so. People need to see that once in a while, in addition to the Memorial Day sale at whatever.
Yeah, agreed. You know, which is always interesting because I don't know why people say Happy Memorial Day, because you're right. It's much more of a somber holiday. It's not like I don't know. I don't view it as a Happy Memorial Day. It's more like a Remembrance Day, right?
Well, Veterans Day is designed to be happy. It celebrates
Correct.
The people that.
Correct.
That participated in wars and
right, but they're two different. Right, but yeah. they're two different days, right? I mean, yesterday is really a day to remember those who died and gave their life, which is not necessarily a reason to go be happy about it, right? I mean, it's more somber.
Well, I would have real problems if I owned a car dealership having Chiefs Memorial Day sale, or I wouldn't have a problem with Chiefs Veterans Day sale.
No, correct. Agree. Yeah, no, loud and clear, but. We can talk about that all day because everywhere you look, there's Memorial Day sales everywhere. Yeah. Whether it's cars, whether it's furniture, whether it's certainly not houses. That's for damn sure.
No, not houses. And it's. But the thing about the houses, though, and I was mentioning that to I cooked for a bunch of Audrey's pals, all of them like super right wingers, and I almost got into it, but I didn't. Not because of now that I'm in the middle, Kenny. But one of the ladies did make a crack regarding, we're having inflation again because we have a Democrat in office, and the last time we had it is because of Jimmy Carter. And I said, well, a more detailed read of history, which I guess is an insult in itself, would lead you to believe that it pretty much started under Nixon, and Carter was just sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the look on everybody's face is like, what do you mean? I've read that it was all Carter. Well, you read wrong. I mean, what can I tell you? And it started in the 60s. Was Carter president in the 60s? I don't think so. It actually probably started under Johnson, to be honest. So if you who's a... Bretton Woods was what? 67, 68, which was Johnson, right? We went off the gold standard?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. So
it was... off the gold standard was Nixon, wasn't it?
Was one of the two. It was either very late in Johnson's term or very early in Nixon's term.
No, it was Nixon, I believe.
Okay. So as soon as that happened...
I was only 11 at that point, but I think it was Nixon.
Well, I mean, I do know that we started pumping money into the system as soon as we went off the gold standard, which maybe it was 72, but it was around there somewhere. 1970 plus or minus a year or two, that much I know.
And so
Carter just happened to land... But everybody on the right is convinced that it was all Carter's fault. Reagan saved us all. Nixon had no part of it. Okay. I guess you could revise history that way, but please don't read much. You might run into yourself, type of thing. So how far do we... We got the inflation numbers starting to come at us, Kenny, yet the market keeps going up. Although last week, every time we were up, we closed kind of on our lows almost every day, even though we were up some of the time.
We're up in it, right? But it's interesting because Friday's PCE report, showed that inflation jumped from 1.8 to 3.1%, so which is a fairly substantial move. Yet I think the Fed and members of the Fed and Janet Yellen have jawboned it enough to get people to say don't panic. And now you get Goldman Sachs coming out saying the inflation we're having is quote unquote. The good inflation versus the bad inflation. So I guess that's like the good witch versus the bad witch, right? So this is all about we're getting inflation because the economy is improving and there's nothing to worry about. Wages are going up and everyone's going to be okay versus the bad inflation, which is going to be driven by monetary policy mistakes, which, you know, everyone seems to be discounting now, including starting at the very top with Fed Chair Jay Powell. You know, he thinks it's absolutely not a monetary policy issue at all. He thinks it is the improving economy, and there's nothing for anyone to worry about. And besides that, it's going to be transitory. So they have done a good job of jawboning this and trying to get people to relax, which was very interesting, especially on Friday, you know, ahead of a long weekend when there were less people at play, that I thought for one that the market was going to actually, you know, push a little bit lower, which it kind of did because it ended fairly flat, but it didn't go negative. And this morning, the fact that we're seeing, you know, global markets all up strongly, European markets are all up better than 1% already, and the U.S. markets look like they're heading that way, we're going to blow right up through the old high of 42.30, almost probably on the opening, and then test higher, as if people are no longer even concerned. Look at Treasury yields at 1.6%. They didn't even move on that report on Friday.
Well, I think that that's the one spot. The only reason why they're there, Kenny, in one man's opinion, is they're buying them.
So
you can't. I mean, I made some money being short bonds for my clients for probably 6 weeks in a row. Then I got clunked a couple times. Now, no matter what happens, they don't move. I mean, the perceived inflation is way worse than it was 4 weeks ago, and yet the bonds are unchanged.
Okay, listen, I hear you, but what's going to happen then if you know, June comes, June 15th bond Fed meeting, which is June 15th and 16th, if they come out and they start talking about tapering and the Fed's no longer going to be the buyer of last resort to the extent that they are, and don't you think there's going to be a real spike in bond yields suddenly?
Take Europe, for example, Kenny. The only reason why they're negative is because the only person dumb enough to buy them is the European Central Bank. You wouldn't buy them there. I wouldn't.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood.
So if they say they're stopping buying, where are they going to go? I mean, they're only going to go one direction.
If the Fed really starts to talk about tapering, and I know it's not going to happen in June, it's probably not going to happen until year end, but they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do, and this is another reason I think that the markets aren't necessarily panicking, is because Jay Powell came out and he kept saying, we're going to give you plenty of time. We're going to talk about talking about the tapering. We're not just going to start the taper. Nobody has to worry. Everyone's going to have plenty of time to come to terms with it. And I think, in that sense, he's doing exactly what he said he's going to do. Because notice that they're all starting to hint, right? They're all starting to hint about maybe it's time we start talking about it. Maybe we should be thinking about it. So they're all hinting. So they're doing exactly what he said they were going to do.
Well, why do you suppose, Kennedy?
But I think that's also why the market's not panicking.
Why do you suppose they get to? Is it the world we live in? And Maddie always argues with me about how much news there is out there. Why isn't there an article from somebody saying this is all BS? What's with these guys? Look at the number.
I think they keep those articles out of the paper every time they go to publish one. I think somehow it gets killed because nobody wants to tell the conscious side of that story, right? Everything's just about no, it's fine. I don't think so. And you know me, you and I have been talking about it for a while. I think it's far worse or far more inflationary than anyone's letting on, and that's my fear.
Kenny, have you ever don't do this because it'll probably ruin your day. Have you ever gone to Wikipedia and look at the PCE numbers compared to the CPI in the basket?
No.
Well, don't.
No, but now that you say it, I'm absolutely gonna when we hang up.
Well, there's a the PCE is supposed to be an index that more closely tracks what people are actually paying today without the burden of the history of the CPI where they have to leave the stuff in there because it, you know, you want the thing, if you wanted to compare it to 1950, you at least have to have some of the same things in there, right? There's a history to, you know, Ford 150s with the amount of, you know, if you put four tires on it instead of three, then you adjust it so it's not really the price is going up. You adjust it because now it's better with four tires, right? So that's got that whole history deal with it. But there's a PCE unadjusted and there's a PCE adjusted that the Fed evidently looks at. And the funny part here is medical care, and this is one I always talk about, medical care in the CPI is 6.2%, which we know is total BS, right, for most people. Because it's 20% of the economy, how can it be 6.2% of the CPI? Somebody's paying for it, right? Well, The PC unadjusted has medical care at 22%. The PC adjusted, guess where they move it down to? Five.
What?
Five. So in the Fed's thing they look at here, now whether somebody glances at the unadjusted, I imagine they do, they have apparel, more a higher price, a higher piece of somebody's basket than medical care. Tell me anybody who pays more for clothes every month than they do for their health insurance. Unless you're...
Anybody...
You might. They pay more for your clothes every month than your health insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? They have transportation... Transportation 3.5 times as much as medical care.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I hear you. Why that seems to get pushed under the rug is really amazing to me. But I think at some point they're not gonna be able to keep pushing it under the rug. It's gonna become an issue that spins out of control, is my fear, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
I mean, do people normally spend more on their recreation than they do on education for kids? If you count education as your local taxes and college tuition and high school tuition, how could you possibly?
Right.
I mean, it's nuts. I mean, but there's going to be someday, somewhere, somebody's going to write that article, Kenny. Just like, you know, in 1982, somebody finally said, hey, these interest rates are going the other way. I mean, I hope we don't have a turn like that, because this time, instead of being a good turn, it'll be a bad turn.
Yeah. No, and I agree. And I think that is the fear, right? As much as I don't want to see it happen, but look, you and I talked about this too. It's not like it's never happened. We both lived through it in the late 70s, early 80s, when inflation spun out of control and interest rates rocketed higher. And everyone goes, oh yeah, but this time it's different. I go, not so much.
Well, I'll get you even one more. They have rent is only 4.1% of somebody's basket. Rent,
yeah,
really?
That's baloney.
Yeah, and the owner's equivalent rent means you're, that's the housing stuff. That's your cost of living in your own house. 15.9%. Did anybody really think that their housing, their insurance, and all, and taxes are 16% of their paycheck? I'd love to be that guy.
Yeah.
I have a feeling even you, it's more than 16% of your paycheck in Florida when you add all that stuff together.
Yeah. You live in Chicago, New York, or California, it's even more than that.
Well, you know, Kenny, when you keep the mortgage because it's low, and you pay for the Rolls Royce cash, that's a problem you drop yourself into. Just saying, you know. By the way, are you getting one of those new Bentley convertibles?
I am not getting one of the new Bentley convertibles. You mean the one that they custom make you, that's like, what they say? What's the ridiculous number? I heard it on the TV the other day.
Well, it's not ridiculous.
Isn't it like a ridiculous number, like $250,000 or something?
Yeah, well, the Bentley's 300, isn't it?
So then maybe it's six. Maybe it was.
Yeah,
it's
unbelievable. I could see you in one of those, though.
Yeah, for the custom design, right? With the they had like the boat background that it opens up, and all of a sudden it, you know, looks like a boat. It's got the teak wood, and you open it up, and it's got all kinds of fancy stuff in there.
Well, then you'd have to get a couple of gold chains to go with it. Just saying, got to look the part. But anyway, take care of yourself.
I'll talk to you next week.
SP Futures up 23, NASDAQ Futures up 55. Come back, Webster Jeff Joseph.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. It's Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 23. Nancy Futures up 54. We started like this pretty much every day last week and finished up really most of them, but not at the highs. We kind of sold off during the day, but still we were up pretty much every day. I've got every stock in the Dow up. Biggest mover today is Amgen up 362. I got the CVX, Chevron, Texaco up $1.51. Because oil's up a reasonable amount this morning. The XLE is up 84 cents, which is the S&P piece of all the oil stocks. We've got gold is up. Everything's up. So, everything's up except really, we've got bonds unchanged, which is surprising given the inflation numbers that we're seeing now. But, Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Missed you last week when we had our AT&T issues. Those guys don't want to do telephone stuff. Why do we let them? Why do we just let them charge more prices for people?
You know, ever since the breakup, they've had an attitude.
Yeah. So get a load of this. I'll say real quick, we just, you know, went for this whole new deal at PTI and whatever, paid up for the telephone system, so we tripled our speed and everything. So for 99% of the time, it's like way better for clients, for us, for everything, because we get way better quote speed and the whole bit. So that part's okay. But I don't even think there's other people trying to sell you stuff anymore, Jeff. There was. But we have an old copper line that is just for Stacks and Jacks, because we don't want anybody being able to come into Stacks and Jacks and make it over to the PTI side of the place, right?
Right.
So, when everything else goes out, which had happened a couple times, one was some big weather event or something, we can take the PTI line and split it off and put it in people's computers so we can actually do business, right? So it acts as a backup. Nobody ever calls regarding the one that we have problems with, right? The new one. But in fact, one of my buddies was telling me that they spent $300,000 for a AT&T system. 2 weeks ago, they switched over and nothing worked. And then the solution was you now need $120,000 in new routers or something, you know. And of course, the people you talk to are in India, which, you know, you would think that when the state of Illinois gives them, you know, rate increase after rate increase, they would at least say, well, hire the people here or something along those lines, but they don't. I don't know if you can do that, but that would make sense. So then the next day, they call me like every 2 weeks. You know, we want to offer you an opportunity to get rid of that copper line and we'll put a fiber optic line in there. And I go, no. Why? Because it's the only one that works. Why aren't you calling me about the other one being down? Really? Something was down? Yeah. Man, it has nothing to do with me. I know. It has nothing to do with you. Why do you want to keep changing this other one when it's the only thing that works? Well, we'd like to get rid of the copper. Sell the copper to somebody. Don't just force people off it. I mean, they don't want to be in copper anymore. And in Denver, I think they sold, I don't understand, they sold all the old copper infrastructure in Denver to somebody else, Hughes or somebody, that says, we'll take it, and we'll work with it. But now here, their solution is to go down to the state, raise all the prices for the copper, and get everybody off it. The other stuff isn't as good, Jeff. Just saying. I mean, yeah. So, but I mean, by the way, your state legislature, because they had nothing better to do, passed a law this weekend that the governor signed saying, if you have a vaccination, bartenders can offer you a free drink. Who even thought that one up? And why did somebody say, why is this even on my docket?
Isn't that something, by the way? Yeah, that's really amazing.
Of course, you'll be calling Maddie after the show saying, hey, let's go take the rounds of all the saloons and try and get drink after drink.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is, string up 10 or 12 bars in a row and have a great night.
Yeah.
Didn't say they had to.
Crawl.
Well, he didn't say that.
Crawl, I like it.
He didn't say you had to.
Well, I know. You got to do some research to figure out which bars will do it, and then you do a vaccine crawl, and you drink all day and don't pay a dime. Just tip.
Well, I wonder if that applies to Cocktails A Go, which just cleared Springfield also.
What was that? I missed that one.
It's a bill that includes a provision allowing bars to provide one free drink to customers, you know, that same bill, who have vaccination, but alongside that legislation is the one that allows them to permanently be able to sell Cocktails to Go. You know, Cocktails to Go came up as during COVID to, just to try to allow for bars and restaurants to have more potential income. So you could essentially go and get a drink to go, which you couldn't before. So that's included alongside the vaccine legislation that allows for that one free drink promo.
We had a guy, an enterprising guy from the OEX pit, back when there was an OEX pit, and he would go to somewhere between here and the train, Jeff and Maddie. There was a place that would sell you Heinekens for, I'm going to say, a buck and a half a Heineken, right? But it wasn't really very cold. Over at the train station, they had them swimming in the ice, so they're cold as can be. But the young lady at the train station, they took a liking to them, and they'd bring their six beers for the train over to this lady, and for $2 of tip, she let them trade the not very cold Heinekens for the Heinekens that were in her ice water bath. So they ended up with the total cost was less. You got to tip a pretty girl, and everybody was happy.
Yeah.
That's a functioning economy right there.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. Very good economy.
So, Jeff, what's going on in the, what is your Amazon issue on the books yet, or?
It is out the door, so that's all good. And, it's been really well received, so we're really happy with it. It's a tough look at Amazon. It's, you know, we look at a lot of different issues related to the company, everything from labor to antitrust. It's timely too, because just only last week, the DC Attorney General, his name is Racine, I forget his last name, but he filed what you know, portends to be a pretty large suit against Amazon, and one that has Amazon kind of worried and taking a look at it. And it took you know, of course, the current regime of antitrust legislation is very focused on prices, right? So they don't consider monopolies to be, you know, unless there's rising consumer prices that provide a negative impact for the consumer. So that's what's kept these large companies in Silicon Valley being immune from antitrust enforcement or subsequent legislation, because it's hard to show that their activities are increasing prices. But this Washington, D.C. filed suit, which was by Carl Racine, that's the name of the D.C. Attorney General, apparently it's a lawsuit that centers on Amazon's agreements with its third-party vendors, and those sales make up the bulk of the sales on Amazon's platform. And Amazon actually discourages those sellers from offering lower prices on their products anywhere outside of its ecosystem. And if they do, they find themselves being demoted or even banned from the platform. So the argument that the Attorney General out of Washington is saying is that Amazon actually causes prices to be higher on vendors, because since they can't raise their price, they can't lower their prices anywhere else, and since the margins are much lower on Amazon, because that's where the bulk of their sales is, you know, they have to pay the highest amount, more than eBay or more than anyone else, to sell on Amazon, that it actually forces them to raise their prices elsewhere. They can't lower the prices, it forces to raise their prices. So it's an interesting argument that Amazon's practices cause these third-party vendors to be forced to raise prices elsewhere. And it's the first time that there's and five other states are likely to join in on this suit. So, you know, I think you're going to see the next year be an interesting year in terms of legal challenges for Amazon, particularly after Lina Khan, you know, Biden's nominee for chairman of the FTC. She will get appointed. It won't be a bipartisan vote that you typically see. She'll get 70 senators to sign on to her, and she's going to be tough, because her whole existence in the antitrust space was basically founded on a white paper that she wrote in 2017 called Amazon's Antitrust Paradox, that really set the tone for how to proceed against Amazon under antitrust enforcement that doesn't center on consumer prices.
So in this corner, we have every lobbyist known to man.
115.
In the other corner, we have Jeff and Luckbox Magazine.
Well, no, there's others. There's There's a lot of it. There's a guy named Danny Kane who wrote a book called How to Resist Amazon and Why. And that book is, it's on delay at Amazon. You're not going to get it same day on Prime. But it's an interesting book. He's an outspoken, he's a bookseller. He owns a great, great bookstore, which I happened to be in ages ago, called The Raven in Lawrence, Kansas. It'd be one of the top 50 big bookstores in the country. And he basically laid out the history of what Amazon did to decimate the bookselling industry, which in a nutshell is they sell books lower than wholesale. They sell books lower than the price they actually get them from the publishers. So they are always, a book that they pay $15 for, that should be sold for $29. They'll sell for $14 or $14.50. They'll lose money on the book intentionally because they're trying to buy a lifetime customer. And the lifetime value of the customer is, material. So that's a loss leader. It's something that nobody else can afford to do, particularly those in the book business.
I don't think it's legal.
That's how they manage a book business, and then they proceeded to take on other businesses that way, like diapers in a well-known case, and then batteries and the basic products that they basically, clone from their vendors and sell at lower prices.
Jeff, my reading, again, it's been a long time since I took any of this in class. I think that, from my recollection, that's an easier case to win than the other stuff. I mean, if you ever, like an airline, of course, we don't go after those guys either because they're favored nation status.
Right.
But if Jeff and Maddie decided to have, some good looking girl on the side of a plane and fly from South Bend to L.A. every day, or Vegas, like Hooters tried to do, with four or five planes for $150 each way, for United to lower their prices to $125 just on that route, that is absolutely considered by the Clayton Act of a no-no. And you could go after, it's called predatory pricing. You can't do that. That's easier, if United were to lower everything down to the point where every flight was dropped by 50% to where you drop the LA to Las Vegas to South Bend flight down to 125. That's legal. But to drop it below your cost just to be predatory toward a newcomer, I don't think that's legal at all. I think it's probably way easier it's
right, but and you're right. So that should be the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Actually, you still need somebody with the political will to pursue that, and then someone that it's going to take on these 115 lobbyists. And as I said before, it's the largest lobbying group in D.C. now. There's no pharmaceutical company or oil company or defense contractor with a larger group of lobbyists than Amazon, and that's why they looking for that major headquarters. That's why they ended up in Alexandria, Virginia. That was not by chance. They wanted to be close to political influence. That's why Bezos put down, I forget what the number was, but a huge amount of money to buy a huge home in D.C. That was all part of this plan that started several years ago, to be close to the source.
I get this odd thing. It's got to be my Southside upbringing. That when I hear people, I hear them at the, at the Emporium, guys will be talking about people at their work, whether they want to come back to work, and they're going to do a survey and this. And I go, I just shudder. I mean, I'm like, that's why they call it work. I mean, right? I mean, if you're a policeman, you don't get to stay home and get paid. I mean, and yet it seems like all these people in this public arena, I know we're not going to do any antitrust for like the next 8 years. Well, are you still going to get your check? Oh, sure. What are you going to do all day? Nothing. I mean, that's interesting. What do you do? I drive a bus. Well, at least the guy drives the bus for 8 hours, right? Or the guy or a lady. Yet some people don't think they need to. I mean, if you were to ask, I won't say, let's just say regular people that aren't into antitrust law, and I don't anybody think for a second that I'm an antitrust attorney, you say, what's Amazon's plan? Every person, buy them a beer, and they'll say, well, it's easier. They're going to drive everybody else out of business, and then once they have market power, they're going to raise all their prices. And you sit there and go, if the common man on the street that doesn't know anything about antitrust law or doesn't care knows that's the plan. It's so obvious from anybody. Why are our idiots in office perplexed by this?
Well, they're not perplexed by it. They're just, you know, they're either bought and paid for by lobbyist dollars, or they have a constituency that that's indifferent. See, that's beginning to change, but think about how hard it is. For example, so we released this Amazon issue, and it's free digitally. At luckbox.com, anybody can get our digital subscriptions for free. And then, of course, there's paid subscribers. So the digital subscriptions are sent out via email, and the email went out Thursday where the issue was released for the very first time. It took all of 5 minutes for me to get, you know, of course that's going out to, you know, just shy of 100,000, but it took me all 5 minutes to get a dozen emails in my inbox saying, well, this is an issue, you know, I don't even have to read. If I want to channel Mother Jones, I can do it through Mother Jones magazine. I don't have to read another anti-Amazon propaganda issue. And then you think about where that comes from, right? And, you know, we expected that because we aren't necessarily taking a position on Amazon, but we are giving a wide platform to those who are, you know, everything from labor to counterfeit goods to fake reviews to China being the primary source to the antitrust, using your own, competing with your own vendors, using the data of both your customers and your vendors without proper acknowledgement, some privacy issues. We went through the whole litany, each a different perspective by a different contributor. So we knew that those pro-Amazon types that were going to be offended by what appeared to be one-sided. Of course, we reached out to Amazon and told them exactly what we were doing in the issue. And again, you know, no comment, crickets back from them. So, and it was hard to find anyone who actually wanted to make a stand in favor of Amazon, you know, on any of their activities, particularly because the political winds are changing here. But you think about the constituency. Who are these people that are so offended by taking a hard look at in Amazon? And yes, the labor practices, it's true. Yes, they do pee in their bottles. I talked directly to an Amazon warehouse worker and said, yeah, you know, that's why they have vending machines that sell painkillers in the store. Yes, they track on GPS how much time they take offline as break. It's really miserably hard work. And yes, they have post office boxes inserted in their warehouses that the second a new hire is brought on, they sit down with them and kind of talk them into opting out of any union. So they coach them through the union vote that's before them at many of the plants, and then they walk them over to the mailbox and watch them put the vote in the mailbox. So that issue is taken care of day one of their hire and resolved in that way. So there's a lot of things going on there that normal people would care about. But you have three groups of people who are reluctant to show any concern about Amazon's activity. One of them is the, you know, millennials through Gen X through Gen Z, who prize comfort and convenience so much, right, that it's forced habits of them, and that they just think that the value of convenience is something they're willing to trade, you know.
Jeff, if you put
perhaps the rights of some and the rights of others. And so that's the first group. I'll just give you the other two groups quickly. The other group is the knee-jerk conservative who says, oh, it's a free market, leave big business alone. And then it's the liberal, political liberal, who knows that Silicon Valley and the media, and let's face it, Bezos is involved in both with the Washington Post and with Amazon. They've started to consider them to be allies, and that Amazon should be hands off. So you have three large groups with you know, considerable political clout and representation, and it's hard to peel off people that are genuinely interested in what Amazon is doing.
It's the same people who buy Nike shoes. They don't want to know that the thing is in China and how much people are making. Just don't tell them. They got their ears. It's like a 5-year-old putting his ears over his hands over his ears, telling his mother he can't hear him.
That's right. Last year, 49% of all goods sold on Amazon were originated in China. So between the job loss it represents to Americans and the labor issues with children, etc., no one knows, no one cares.
You couldn't get Amazon out of it's not just millennials though. My significant other is about the same way. But she has her office at home, and you know, and she's been busy, so she's worked. So the idea that somebody, you know, if she needs some paper for her fax machine, and then all of a sudden the thing shows up at her doorstep in a few hours, I mean, she's, you know, it's worth a lot to her, you know.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it's worth a lot to Amazon. So think about that again. And remember that, you know, that box of protein bars that you buy on Amazon that they deliver the next day, they didn't make any money on that. We all know that. That's not possible that they made any money on that. But what they did is they bought you as a customer. And they bought you as a customer in other areas that they can make money. So they know what the commodity staples are that they're willing to lose money on.
I think they make you
as a lifeline customer.
I think they make
95% of our readers use Amazon. 78% of them are Prime members. If you are a Prime member, the odds are 90% that the first thing you'll do is go look to Amazon when you're buying any product at all.
If you were to look at your home office supplies, I'm going to say in most places, if you went to Office Depot or something, you get the same day as well. But nobody cares to look at that.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I was talking to Kevin the other day about this, knowing you were going to be on, so I was actually preparing for you. Believe it or not, Jeff. And he was saying that, well, at Better Worlds Books, that they not only raised the fees to the point where it was brutal, but they started charging their fee on the shipping costs too, which is a real knife in the gut for most of these places. Because they charge, but they just keep raising the stuff, the fees, to the point where used to being on Amazon and being maybe you had your own distribution system that you said, what do I even need it for? I'll just use Amazon. It was worth whatever they charge, 10%, 20%, it was worth it to just say, we'll just use them. Well, then, once they know they have you, and you disband your own place of doing it, then they start raising it up. But these are not new tricks, Jeff. I mean,
no, they're not new tricks, but to end the circle, there are people that say, well, this can't go on forever. A company can't buy business and do things in a manner that aren't profitable. Eventually, this is all going to implode. But that's naive because it doesn't, of course, recognize. The other argument often is that, hey, this is just a company that's winning at capitalism, right?
Yeah.
That if you're a free market guy, you like capitalism, they just happen to be winning. But to them, you have to point out there's a distinction between free markets and fair markets, and there's nothing that Amazon does is fair. But the second point about how long can a company continue to sell products essentially at a loss, and the answer lies in AWS, Amazon Web Services. As long as you dominate the cloud business in the manner that they do, that has Microsoft and Oracle, you know, as distant seconds. Oh, I'm sorry, Microsoft and Google, I mean, as distant seconds. And that's where, even though less than 50% of your revenue comes from, but over 60% of your margin comes from on a global basis, yeah, you can continue to do that forever. Amazon is literally a cash cow. So you can continue to buy the business, buy the lifetime values, and own these customers and their habits, and then to be able to adjust prices in the manner you wish thereafter. So yeah, this could go on forever. This is not something that runs out of steam. And there's no better indication of that than just last week, Amazon announced its second largest acquisition, or its largest acquisition since Whole Foods, and that is MGM. You know, so I mean, that $8.5 billion acquisition announced just a couple days ago. In fact, the day after the Washington D.C. Attorney General filed that suit against them.
Well, yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot of Amazon in the news for the next year, particularly after the appointment of Lina Khan. It's going to get interesting.
Well, there's a lot of areas that have allowed. I mean, in one sense, you know, I'm right with you on the Amazon stuff. In the other sense, we've allowed monopolies to oligarchs to pop up in about seven or eight different areas that I can name.
That's right.
Where the
nothing unique here.
Where the pricing is so ridiculous that I almost wouldn't mind, you know, somebody like Amazon taking a shot at them. I mean, I remember back, I don't know if Betty remembers this, because this had to be more than 10 years ago, where Walmart wanted to create a bank, and the, where they were going to charge less for
the bank. I do remember that,
and,
yeah.
And they were told they couldn't. Why? I mean, why are we protecting J.P. Morgan? Let's see, what do? They don't pay anybody any interest. They charge huge overdrafts. They charge a lot of, if you have less than, $5,000, they charge you what, per month or something, or some number they do. Sometimes they charge you to take it out of the, why if somebody says we can do that for half price, why are we going to protect J.P. Morgan? I'm not big on Walmart, you know, having even more power either, but, to a certain extent, we let these people get so big, only somebody big can compete with them. Right? But there's a lot of, smaller banks that are much more competitive, yet they're only in their little area, right? So, they don't, a lot of them don't go nationwide. A lot of them are state chartered and you can't. So, I mean, there's problems all over the place with people getting too big. I mean, right now you look at the price of wood and everything else. If you're doing any remodeling, yeah, where do you go? If it wasn't for Ace Hardware somehow hanging in there, maybe True Value, name me a competitor to these big box places. Maybe where could you possibly go? Do you know of any? I mean, maybe on the south side, I could name you two or three independent hardware stores, and maybe one or two lumber places. But I got to believe that there's spots on this planet, in this country, where if you're not shopping Home Depot, you're not shopping. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've given them so much power, and we wonder all of a sudden it's abused.
And then throw in a pandemic and a year of lockdowns, yeah. And you've really decimated brick and mortar real.
Let's continue this after the break. SP Viewers up 23, NASDAQ Viewers up 58. Meanwhile, the market loves it. We'll be right back. Stocks with Jack.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment.
Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. We're on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph with us as well. SP Futures up 23. And the Futures up 57. So we're to the moon here. Dow Futures up 255. Like I said, we've been up every day in the morning the last few. And most days we've ended up to the upside, but not as high as we were. We'll see today. Maybe we'll finish even higher. Nikkei down 45.1%. Shanghai up 9.2%. Hang Seng up 316. And it's 1%. Over in Europe, we have big rallies here, though. DAX up 258, 1.7%. FTSE up 87, 1.2%. CAC around up 77, 1.1%, as the European Central Bank has decided they might do even more stimulus. So let's print some more over there, too. 10-year yield, 1.63. That's actually up 3 basis points. Bund up is unchanged at minus 0.17. A Japanese 10-year is positive 0.07, UK positive 0.82. Oil up a bunch here. Oil up 3.5%. No inflation. 68.67 Brent. We talked last week about maybe making it to 70. Well, it's 71.15 today. Blew through 70 like dinner's for a goose, Matty. Natural gas up 8 cents, 3.07. RBOB up 5 cents, 2.18. So in June, which is usually one of the lower months on natural gas, it's over $3. So I don't know what that means for next winter. Probably means you should get a, now would be the time to get some heat from the ground or something. Gold up 650, 1911, silver up 44 cents, 2846, copper down 2 cents, 464, and we have Bitcoin, down 350, very quiet today, 36,364. Any reports, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. No issues coming in on the Edens right now. Traffic building steadily, though, on the Kennedy, Eisenhower, and Stevenson. That's where we're seeing the most red. Southside expressways are looking okay with traffic building on the Ryan as you approach downtown, but no issues on I-57, Bishop Ford. Lakeshore Drive is all quiet in both directions. Off the expressways, looks like there's one issue, and it's down south. 135th between Ridgeland and Harlem is closed due to flooding. Isn't that your neck of the woods, Chief?
Can't be any kind of rain.
Yeah, I know. When did it rain? I don't know if there's some sort of creek or river issue there, but apparently it's closed. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, it's going to be a beautiful day, June 1st. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 72. Right now it's clear and 55 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 104. Right now it's clear and 81. In sports, the Cubs and Sox are both in first place 2 months into the season. Cubs beat the Padres 7-2 last night. White Sox split their doubleheader with the Indians, winning Game 1 8-6 and losing Game 2 3-1. Diamondbacks continue to struggle. They lost to the Mets 6-2. But the Sox hold a 3.5 game lead over Cleveland for first place in the AL Central. And the Cubs are a half game up on St. Louis for first place in the NL Central. Lastly, NBA basketball tonight, a big one for our Phoenix listeners. The Suns are playing Game 5 versus LeBron and the Lakers with that series tied at 2 games apiece. That's a 7 p.m. Arizona time tip. Chief?
I've been reading about the Cubs, and the word is, actually, what is the phrase? I'm going brain dead here. Jeff, they call it the ownership. The guys that really in the know, the guys like, you know, Jed and those guys, the big shots, not just guys like
they're not ownership, but
well, they run the place.
Yeah, Jed's the president of the baseball operations.
Right. But who's the general manager these days?
Actually, it's I can't even think of the guy's name because it's been Theo and Jed for so long, and now Theo's gone, and it's Jed and some guy.
Well, these guys are so smart because the fandom, like you two schmoes and me, the three schmoes. We might be enthusiastic about the Cubs playing well and being in first place, but those guys are not supposed to be dissuaded by stuff like that. They're supposed to figure out if the standings are misleading, if the team's actually playing way better than they are. And if they are, in the face of all fan enthusiasm, they're supposed to offload their players halfway through the year because they don't think they can go deep dive into the playoffs. So they're saying they're trusting the Cubs ownership to not be fooled into thinking they have this great team and to bust the team up. I'm like, I'm reading this going, this is bizarre.
Who wrote that?
It was, I don't know, it's been all, one week it was all over the place. Where they were.
By the way, they did not hire a general manager, so Jed is the president and general manager.
Saving a few bucks.
So, there you go. You lose, Theo leaves, and well, you don't
have to. Why don't you tell him you're available?
I know, I'd love to be a general manager in title, knowing that Jed's running the show.
You know, Chief, maybe that take is complicated or justified by all the injuries so far this season. You know, they really don't know what their team is because they've been juggling injuries.
That's a great point.
Yes.
They have 11 guys on the injured list right now, and they've, you know, recently got a couple guys back. It was actually worse than that for a while.
Well, now they got a pitcher, an appendectomy.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of hamstrings and different things like that. Then Bodie with the nasty shoulder separation the other day, so who knows how long he's going to be out. But in spite of all that, they're playing really good ball, and they actually had, I think, the best record in the National League in the month of May. Now, that said, do I think that this team, as it's built right now, can make a deep run in the playoffs? Probably not. I would also say I don't want to lose Chris Bryant or Javier Baez or Wilson Contreras for nothing. So I either want ownership to step up and say, here's money, Jed, re-sign these guys, or if ownership says we don't have the money to re-sign them, then yes, I do want the general manager to trade them because I don't want to lose them for nothing. That's, to me, that's common sense.
Well, that's true.
Otherwise, they're gone, and then what? At least get some prospects back.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, at some point,
I hate the fact that ownership, the Ricketts family, in a major market, all of a sudden is crying poor. That's what bothers me. But
the city just didn't give them enough.
Yeah, apparently.
Your guys are playing like they're playing. I mean, who's to say that you know, the people that are actually playing well aren't actually that good?
Yeah, no, I hope they are. And I really like David Ross as a manager, and I think that they have a nice culture there, and Chris Bryant is playing at an MVP level again, and Baez has been really good after a slow April. They're kind of carrying them right now, and hopefully they'll get Rizzo back and get, you know, Hayward and some of the other guys back. But yeah, you could be right. Maybe they need Nico Horner back, obviously, but maybe some of these other guys that are filling in are actually decent ball players.
Well, it might be time that you have somebody better than Hayward.
They would love to have somebody better than Hayward. The problem is he makes so much money, no one else wants him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, that decision might, you know, just have to be there one day.
Yeah, I'd be all for it. And he's great defensively, and maybe he becomes the highest paid defensive sub in the history of baseball.
Well, yeah, it's a. But I mean, there is that thing where they're going to. But I don't know who they. It seems like, I guess their minor leagues are pretty dearth. Is that the story?
Well, they're better now. The last 2 years they were really bad. Now they got a couple of top 50 guys again, and they're starting to build it back up.
Well, that's good, because I mean the team is kind of fun to watch, and I think Madden had a really good group going there too, until they kind of messed them up the last year or so by not signing him. But even so, I think people like playing for him and they like the culture. I mean, it's been about as strong a culture for an 8-year span than I think I've ever seen. And sometimes
definitely with, for the Cubs,
yeah, for the Cubs,
yeah, I would agree.
Anyway, that's where they're all. I mean. So Jeff, I'm looking at.
But don't you think that pitching is still pretty vulnerable?
Well, starting pitching, yes. The bullpen, yeah. they just completed 37 innings of shutout baseball, the longest in Cubs history in a 150-year franchise. They didn't give up any runs. Their bullpen's been really good. Their starting pitching is absolutely just right. Their vulnerability.
Like Hendricks and
yeah, Hendricks has been better over his last few starts, but still has, you know, a 4.6 something ERA, and he's pitching tonight. We'll see how he does. But then the rest of the guys are just kind of piecemealed together.
Who's the kid who started like 3-4 weeks ago? Had a terrific start, and they asked Ross, "Is he going to, you know, come back to be another starter?" And he goes, "I don't think." But they're definitely, you know, the Hoyers of the world. They're not alone. They're locked into this You know, we signed this guy for this. We thought he was this good 2 years ago, and all of a sudden he's better. They're not. They don't like to admit a mistake one way or the other, whether somebody's worse or better. I mean, I'm surprised that the Sox are letting this guy Mercedes, because he came up so good. That what are you going to do with him?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise they'd be happy to have him as a weekend out, right?
Yeah, I mean, usually when you evaluate a guy and they are not good enough to break through, or at least you don't think they're good enough to break through AAA until they're, you know, 28, 29, 30 years old, they sort of have that stigma on them that they're just kind of 4A guys, and even if they have a good couple of games for you or a week for you, that it's not going to last. And usually you're probably right, but sometimes you're wrong. And with Mercedes, the White Sox, I think, were wrong, and they realized.
Well, they weren't alone. There was a million other teams that were wrong.
They realized it, and now the guy's one of the better DHs in all of the American League.
Well, yeah, you get some people do kind of figure the difference between being that level and all of a sudden figuring out how to take that last step. It can happen really at any age. It's bizarre how people are. I mean, it's the difference between being almost there and there can't be, you know, I don't know, it's just nuts. I mean, we've seen guys in softball that couldn't hit, and all of a sudden 1 year they start hitting, you go, where'd that guy come from, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, those are the stories though you want. Those are the human interest stories you want. I mean, you like it when somebody comes up and does that. That's the whole point. And,
well, I'm actually going to the Cubs game tonight. My first sporting event that I've gone to since the pandemic.
Skybox, of course.
No, actually, in the cheap seats. Herbie. So I hadn't even thought about buying a ticket yet. But our friend Herb, who played softball with us for a long time and good guy, he texted me and said, I got two extras, and I said, how much? And he said, on me. And I said, great. If it's free, it's for me.
Absolutely. You could have been a trader. If it's free, it's for me.
So Jill and I are going, and it's going to be 70 degrees, and it's Hendricks versus, you know, the Padres, who are...
My suggestion is bring a sweatshirt.
Of course. Yeah. You know, the Padres are either the best team in baseball or certainly the top five, and then Hendricks is the Cubs' best pitcher on paper, and he's, you know, he struggled earlier in the year, but should be a fun one tonight.
I think it should be, yeah. And where are you guys sitting?
Something like 200 section.
By the way, how is that? I mean, our buddy Greg his group has their season tickets to the Sox. They have not gotten a ticket in their seats yet. They keep spreading them around. I said, well, I like his seats. and he goes, no, we haven't been in our seats yet.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, now when does that all end? This week? I mean, they're back to whatever percentage?
Well, I don't know. They're at 60 right now. Are they going up again this week?
No, I guess maybe the 60s. I thought the 60 was today. It was last week.
No, the 60, yeah. For the Sox, it was 2 weeks ago. For the Cubs, it was last week is when the 60 started.
Well, that's...
Baseball, fortunately, has a lot of season ahead of it, you know. So it's a good time for baseball to... with us winding down from pandemic and coming out of lockdowns and things. But has anyone seen any numbers on the NBA? I'm curious as to, you know, the league itself. I mean, they certainly struggled last year, had a really tough year. I wonder about this year as well.
Well, they're allowing, depending upon the city, 10 to 15,000 fans in indoor arena for NBA. So it's certainly been more exciting to watch on TV because there's crowds there, but their ratings are still down. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that.
The ratings is a different story. I find that really interesting. I think it's a story that's not being told frequently, is, you know, what's going on with the NBA. Those ratings are rough right now.
There's a lot of factors that go into it. You have the political stuff that the NBA has done, where they were maybe even more so sort of involved in the social justice things that were going on more than other sports. You have that turns some people off. You have this load management thing now where players are basically saying, like, hey, we're no longer doing the 4 games in 5 nights. I'm going to take a week off here, or I'm going to take a game off tonight. And it might even be a national TV game that players would never have taken off, you know, 20 years ago. But I'm going to rest because whatever, and teams are letting them do it because they're paying them a lot of money and they want them healthy for the playoffs. So as a fan, you're like, well, if the players don't even care and they don't, and they're, why should I? And it's hard to argue with that. Now that the playoffs have started and you're seeing everyone out there playing as hard as they can, it's been pretty fun to watch actually again. But the regular season, I mean, what fan is going to watch an 82 game or this year's 72 game regular season when the players don't even care?
or pay for a ticket to see a limited roster.
Right, right, exactly. Well, so then, I think it's a combination of all those things that have turned people off, or some people off.
Are the Celtics still at limited capacity and the Bruins are full?
Well, I don't think either of them are completely full.
I sure looked to me like every seat was in the Bruins game the other night.
I'm watching the Cubs game yesterday, and it looked like almost every seat was full. So I don't know. I don't know who's doing
where behind home plate. There was like 1 out of 10.
Behind home plate was the only section that looked empty, which was weird. I don't know if the rich people still don't want to go to the games, but when they panned out to the bleachers or to any other section, it was like packed.
Oh, really? Maybe.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, so but I don't think anywhere is 100% yet, except maybe like Texas or Florida or something.
Yeah, one of those.
Well, I think that that load management issue that you brought up really is a great segue into the problem, the struggle that companies are facing everywhere right now as they try to bring their employees back into the office too. It seems to be indicative of the same mindset. Hey, I can do this from home. You know, I can work from home. The last year has kind of created new behaviors that just a lot of businesses are going to have to deal with. You know, we've talked about it before, I'm seeing a real issue with companies that want to bring employees back to work and employees that are reluctant to do that. So,
well, I mean, at some point, it is work.
Well, since when did companies start empowering employees in this way? Because our company that I work for also sent out a survey. Now, they never said whether they're going to follow it or not. But they sent out a survey that said, would you be comfortable coming in 5 days a week like nothing happened? Would you rather do 3 or 4 days a week? Would you rather do 1 day a week? Would you rather work from home? Explain your reasonings why. And it was a short, 10-question type survey. Mm-hmm. And then what they're going to do with that data, I don't know. But, I don't remember. It used to be, this is our policy, either work here or you don't. And now it seems to be, like you said, for whatever reason, they want to empower the employees. And it's interesting. I know for me personally, I don't mind going into the office every day, but I also have enjoyed working from home only because of the 2 hours of commute time I save every day.
Sure.
That's the whole thing. Like, that packing into the train for an hour and then doing it again in the evening and getting those 2 hours back have been just awesome. For me as a salesperson, I have a number whether I work from home or I don't work from home. So for me, it's very easy to manage. You either hit your number or you don't. So there's no benefit either way for me. But for people that don't have an actual quota, I could see where they want to monitor what they're doing and want them in the office.
Right.
Well, there's a certain camaraderie. There's no doubt that if somebody lives alone and just says, okay, one or 2 days, I do just as many. If I'm taking customer gripe calls and I can take just as many at home, I have a real problem arguing that you absolutely have to be here every day. I mean, I wouldn't do that to somebody. I mean, I certainly wouldn't argue that Audrey needs to drive 10 miles to an office when she does her real estate stuff from home when she's working all day by herself. But if you have, a lot of this has to do with the schools aren't opening and they have to take care of the kids. Well, screw that on the schools. They should be open. If somebody has kids and all of a sudden the kids can't go to school, clearly I can understand why they have a problem being at work, right? But it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with people they're paying for, right? And aren't doing what they're... it all has to come back sort of together, wouldn't you say, Jeff? I mean, it's... You don't start with people going to work with the kids at home alone.
So between the NBA's load management and the watching the school teachers and how they responded to the pandemic, I think I understand where a lot of employees are taking their cues right now. I'm extremely disappointed with how the teachers handled this past year. They had a choice to really step up and they didn't. And I think we'll have a generation of kids that suffer, particularly those that were in high school right now. The grade school you can make up, but freshman and sophomore years of high school, those students where that's the one chance you really have. It's the last chance to learn math and science before you go out in the world, because that's something there. It's part of an overall curriculum that everybody has to take, whereas things become elective after that. And those years were really lost, and we're gonna see that down the road. We're gonna see the pandemic kids that show up in the workplace that just don't have the basic math skills that they they could or should have had.
Well, Jeff, none of us want to be a dictator. Someplace, somewhere, this has all gotten out of hand to the point where I wouldn't want to be the dictator, nor would I want one. But the idea that people we pay make the determination that they want... Now, granted, we had a pandemic, and it was not a good time. The idea of kids they haven't even seen or heard from since last March, or have been online, you know, 1 out of 3 days or 4 days or whatever. Now, I'm not blaming... Well, I'm blaming them, but I'm also saying they probably didn't have Wi-Fi at home. They probably didn't have 3 computers. They had 3 kids. So there's all kinds of reasons. But I don't want people that I pay and have paid for these kids to show up. I don't know if you did pay for them at the schools. I don't know how that all worked. But the idea that we're going to promote them all to the next year, who the hell makes that call, Jeff? I mean, I could see, depending on how far they are behind some for summer school, I could see some people, how do they not do the year over? They never showed up once. I mean, how do you promote them to 8th grade if they never even saw 7th? I mean, who gets to make these calls? At some point,
well,
your citizenry...
Well, to be clear, you know, there was Zoom school, but the point that you're going to see more and more data fall in the coming years is that Zoom school was a bust. You know it anecdotally. You're not seeing a lot of research. That's an interesting question in itself as to why you're not seeing the research. But the engagement levels in Zoom school have been just, you know, terribly poor. And there's no interaction, and there's no education, there's no Socratic, you know, teaching opportunities. So when you end up gauging the learning, I think it's good timing that they're dropping SATs and ACTs in so many schools, because wait till you see those scores plummet 3 or 4 years out. You know, those are going to be some tough aggregate scores you see nationwide on the ACT and SAT, because so much has been lost in math and STEM. You know, things like history you can learn, you know, at any time. English is another thing. You know, writing is something you really only learn your first couple years of high school.
Or don't. Talk to Eric in his creative writing class at Columbia, saying how he's teaching punctuation.
Because
punctuation is not part of a creative writing class, but I guess I got to do it for a couple of weeks for you idiots, basically.
But
that's what I'm saying. I'm going to say that if you look at the last year...
But the point being, there was school. It just wasn't... So, yeah, you move these kids forward, but they just didn't learn anything.
Well, I mean, I'm going to take more of a broad-based approach, and I'm going to say that because, you know, a couple of my family members are, you know, in fact, I'm the only person who knows any teachers. They will tell you that they worked harder, and some kids home with the parents' help and the parents making them listen and so forth, they actually, with an awful lot more effort, managed to do just about as well this year they would have otherwise. Now, what percentage that is, I can't tell you. I'm going to say 20-30%. Some areas maybe 40 if parents are home or somebody's home helping or those kinds of things. You got some kids that maybe if you had 6 weeks of summer, they could probably catch up. And then there's some kids that you never even saw. So to promote them, what are you doing? I'm saying it's not a broad answer, Jeff. It's probably, I'm going to say 30% are good to move forward. 25-30 are good to go with a summer session. And the rest, how about doing it over? I mean, that would be my guess. I mean, could be off, but clearly there's different groups in there, right?
Sure, of course. But I would not in any way accept the notion that the teachers worked harder. It just didn't happen. Having a couple kids, or one in high school right now, and getting for the first time ever, because they're home, you know, getting a look at what their work is and what they do, I started to realize, as the kids realized immediately, how lesson plans become copied, you know, part of a larger curriculum. So it's the same thing. They get an assignment. They take the assignment. They search the internet. It's been asked by, especially on the AP track, AP History, AP English, these blocks. They're using the same questions nationwide, and the answers are all posted on the internet. So the kids go look up the question. They download 4 or 5 essays that answer the question. They put it in a Word doc. They synthesize it or rewrite it in a way that will pass a plagiarism detector. They've done no original thinking. They shoot out their assignment. It's done.
Jeff, it sounds like what we used to do in Latin.
And this isn't a handful. This is how they are all approaching these assignments. These AP critical thinking English and history questions are all over the internet, and everyone who's responded to them previously, their answers are posted. Some behind a paywall, some not, and all the kids are doing the same thing. They're just copying them all into one doc and rewriting them.
We only have 30. I have one quick question. How is it then? Some of my buddies live in Naperville. Said the kids are like 2 hours a day in class, and yet my nephew's wife said she was regular hours or more in her district. There's unevenness in how many hours teachers put in this. Why is it so uneven?
That's hard to say. Why they'd be doing more hours.
So I'll get you next week, and if Jeff Bezos is heading for your house, call me. I'll come protect you.
Yeah. Thanks for the heads up. All right.
Well, I wouldn't be much help, but I might be some. They might shoot me thinking they're you. You know, it's possible. It's, you know, just saying. SP Futures up 21. NASDAQ Futures up 54. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4966.